Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Amen. So before we begin this morning, I think it's very important that I know that we've seen that in Texas there's been some severe flooding. And I know the president made a call for this to be a day of prayer for Texas and even for this nation. So I think we should start this morning off by making that prayer. Amen. As a church, is that okay? So let's all, if you want to stand, you can stand, or you want to sit, but let's all make this declaration. Father, this morning in this place, and church, you can get loud if you want to. We come before you and we lift up Texas before you right now in the name of Jesus the Christ. Father, we ask that your hand would move mightily upon Texas. Father, that you would cause breakthrough after breakthrough to come. For many have lost their homes. Many have lost their belongings and their goods, Father. Even lives have been lost. And we just pray, Father, that you would cause restoration and healing to come speedily, that the floods would subside, that they would disappear, that the water would disappear supernaturally, that you would cause the church to rise up, even in that area, oh God, Lord, and let them bring life. Let your spirit bring life to that area in the name of Jesus. We pray that the resources necessary will come forth from all over the world, oh God, that they will send resources to give breakthrough in that area, those that have lost their homes, that they will be restored. Many don't have flood insurance, and so we pray for those that do not have flood insurance, and we ask, Lord, for a miracle for them in the name of Jesus. And let them say that only God could have brought restoration like this. And we will give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Father, we also pray for our nation this morning, for a mighty move of your spirit in this nation. Father, we pray this morning that you will raise up a standard against the enemy who desires to come and accuse and whisper and speak evil of this nation. Father, we ask that you would rise up this nation once again, rise up this nation once again, and all the glory and the honor and the praise will be given to you. Protect our leaders, protect our president, and have your way in this nation. All the glory, all the honor, and all the praise belongs to you. Let's give the Lord a clap. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You may take your seats. Thank you so much. Amen. Woo. Amen. So, I'm going to be speaking to you on a subject I've entitled The Secrets of Worship. The Secrets of Worship. And in order for us to really get an understanding, because I believe God is raising this house up as a church that will really worship God. Amen. And really seek the Lord. Amen. And, you know, there's that scripture that says that, you know, that the Father is seeking those who will worship Him. In other words, God is looking for the worshipers, those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we're going to get to that tonight. But this morning, I want to lay a foundation and talk to you about where worship comes from. I want to talk to you about our first, you know, encounters in heaven that we see with worship. I'm going to throw some stuff out this morning that's going to really shake you to your core and challenge your theology. And if you don't agree with me, that's okay. Amen. Because there are many different theories. People have got different opinions about the way creation and all that stuff. But in order for me to go where I want to go this morning, I want to just show you some stuff. Is that okay? I don't want to just say that it's like this without giving you some kind of scriptural background. But the reality is, in order for me to really teach on the origin of the earth, I would have to really sit down with you and spend hours with you, probably weeks with you. But at least hours. I can't do it in 10 minutes, which I'm going to try and do. Amen. So I'm going to show you some stuff this morning. Just remember one thing, guys. It's not that complicated. It's logical. We have a brain and we can think. Amen. Many people argue and say that, you know, all kinds of different things. I've seen photographs of dinosaurs with their heads sticking out of the ark. Okay. I don't believe that there were dinosaurs in the times of the ark. I don't believe that T-Rex was hanging out in the ark with the other animals. Amen. So where did they come from? When were they here? And we need to look at these things in order for us to get some kind of understanding. Now, once again, I'm in no way, if your theology, if your belief system is different to what I'm going to show you this morning, and this is just to lay a foundation for where I want to go, which is important. This is just history. Is that okay, guys? Amen. So again, if you believe that the dinosaurs were in the ark, that's okay. Amen. The reality is that the earth, if we look at the Bible, most scholars will suggest that the earth is somewhere around 6,000 years old as we know it, from the beginning of Adam and Eve, somewhere around there. The creation, it happened around about 6,000 years. Some of the extreme guys would say, you know, scholars, biblical scholars would suggest that it's about 15,000 years old. Now, let's just stop right there. Because scientists have proven, and listen, science is not always right, but science is also not always wrong. Science has proven that fossils and dinosaurs and things under the earth are, some of them are millions of years old. So now how does this work with our theology? Many people believe that when the flood of Noah came, that's when some dinosaurs died, some went in the ark, and that's when there were fossils and all that. But it doesn't make sense, just from a logical standpoint. It just doesn't make sense. I don't believe Adam and Eve were running around with the dinosaurs. I believe that they were here before Adam and Eve. Is that okay? Now, I'm going to go to a scripture. We're going to start. Let's just start here. Let's go to Genesis 1, verse number 1. I'm trying to teach you a whole lot in like I can't. So let's just start here. Genesis 1, 1 to 2. And what I will do is I will organize a session. I was going to do this, but we went in another direction. But I will organize a teaching, not on a Sunday, on a Saturday, for those of you that are interested in learning about this. Is that okay? Okay. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, we know that in the beginning, God created the heavens, plural, not singular. In other words, more than one heaven. I've taught you about the three heavens, right? So we know there are at least three heavens. Okay, I'm not going to get into that now. Amen. So he created the heavens and the earth. Then in the very next verse, it says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Now, I don't know about you, but darkness, no form, no void. The word form there speaks of wasteness. It speaks of destruction in the Hebrew. It speaks of emptiness. It speaks of a wasteland. It speaks of a confusion on the earth. The word void means waste or it speaks of a ruin. It speaks of a ruin. It speaks of an earth without form and void, a wasteland, a ruined, a confused planet, just an emptiness. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know God to create like that. I don't know God to create with waste and waters covering and just nothing. So what happened between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. It's very quiet in Vero Beach. Now, let's go to 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. Just hang with me. Amen. For this they willingly forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth. The earth there in the Greek means soil, ground, world, mainland. Standing out of the water and in the water. By which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. So there was an existence that was perished and flooded with water. Amen? Okay, now. The earth, okay, no, let's go to verse number 7. But the heavens and the earth which are now, but hang on a minute. He's speaking about, first he says, He says that the heavens of old and the earth, and now he's speaking about, but the earth, heavens and the earth which are now. So he's suggesting a cosmos and an earth which was before. Now, after the flood of Noah, God did not recreate anything. So there was a flood that took place before, because after the flood of Noah, there was no recreation. But here it suggests two different worlds. The first world, which was flooded, and now a new world and a new heavens and earth that was created. So something was before. Amen. Okay. Half of you believe me. That's okay. Again, as I said, guys, this is, you know, this could be theory. If you believe that, I believe this. Amen. But the heavens of the earth, which are now preserved by the same word. Oh, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. Amen. So this is our world as we now know it. Amen. Preserved by the same word are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now let's go all the way down to verse 13. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Amen. So we see three different worlds. The first world, which was flooded, and I don't believe we're talking about the flood of Noah, because there was no creation after the flood of Noah. And then we see that there will be a new heavens and a new earth at the end. Amen. Okay, so now what happened in this world past? What was going on? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter number 4, verse 23. But before we do that, now, let's do this. Let's go back to Genesis 1. Okay, you guys okay? I want to try and make this as easy to understand. Okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Remember what I said. There is evidence that there was a flood. The Spirit of the Lord was hovering upon the face of the waters. So God was about to do something amazing on this earth. He was about to do a creation that we're aware of. Can you say amen? Amen. But what about before then? So then let's quickly go to Jeremiah 4, verse 23. I beheld the earth, and indeed it was past tense, without form and void. Uh-oh. And the heavens, they had no light. But now, there's always been light on this earth, right? Okay. I beheld the mountains, and indeed they trembled, and all the hills moved back and forth. I beheld, and indeed there was no man, but there's always been man. And all the birds of the heavens had fled. So there were birds, now they're gone, right? I beheld, and indeed the fruitful land was a wilderness, and all its cities were broken down at the presence of the Lord by his fierce anger. Something happened on this planet, or in the heavens and on this planet, that caused God to get very angry. It's also amazing that when God promises Noah that he will never flood the earth again, he makes a promise, and the way he does it is like, I will never do this again. But it's almost like I've done it before. Amen. Okay. Now, the reason why I said all of this is because we need to have a look at a character whose name was Lucifer. Now, if you understand it, I mean, I've spoken about this and I've thrown this out there several times. Part of God's creation, which is man, I believe was all part of God's plan. But when did Lucifer fall? Before or after the creation of man? It must be before. And where did he go? To where? To the earth. But God creates the heavens and the earth. And who's in the garden? Who? The devil, the serpent. Is it starting to make sense, guys? So he was already here before God did this creation. And the spirits, you must remember, angels are spirits. This is deep, I know, okay? Angels are spirits, so they will stay here even if there's a flood. Fallen angels, is that okay? So let's go and have a look. And this is important because this will lay the foundation and explain to you why worship is so important to God. Amen. Okay, now we're getting into the sermon. Amen. All right. I just wanted to lay that foundation. I didn't just want to say to you that, you know, that Lucifer fell before Genesis 1 verse 2. Okay. But now you know. Amen. Okay. Now, I want to show you a little bit about worship in heaven. And I want to talk to you about this character, Lucifer, who now is Satan. But what we need to understand is that heaven is a place where worship was created. God created worship. Yes, Lucifer was an angel that played music. And I'll show you that in a minute. But he was not the creator of music. God was the creator of music. I've heard so many people say, well, you know, Lucifer owns the word music. No. God created music. God created instruments. God created the sounds. Can you say amen, guys? Amen. So worship originates and comes from God. Amen. It's His. It belongs to Him. Oh, it belongs to Him. Can you say amen, somebody? It belongs to Him. All right. So let's go take a look. Ezekiel 28, verse number 12. Let's go there. Ezekiel 28, verse number 12. Are you guys still okay? Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were sealed with a seal of perfection. Listen now how they describe Lucifer. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. The suggestion is that Lucifer was created so beautiful with all these stones. Now, it's very interesting because the reality is if you study the word, you'll study and find out that the priests that wore their priestly garments also had stones on them. So in other words, Lucifer was created as a priest to God, as a worshiper to God, with instruments and sounds that would come out of him. He was literally, God created him with these instruments and sounds that actually literally came out of him. I've heard people say that when the wind used to blow, the sounds would come out of Lucifer. I've heard all this stuff. That some suggest that he was the worship leader in heaven. I don't know. But I know that he was one that was created. And he was one created with these instruments. There's also a scripture. If you go to Isaiah 14:11, don't go there because we're going to come back to where we were. But I'll read it to you. Your prompt is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments. The maggot is spread under you, and the worms cover you. In other words, you see that he also had stringed instruments. So he had pipes and stringed instruments. He was made in heaven to do worship, to be a priest. He had the priestly stones on him. He was created to worship God. Amen. And without any doubt, in some form, as a priest to God, as a worshiper to God, he would obviously inspire many of the others around him. Worship is very powerful. Music is very powerful. Listen to me. How on earth did this creature have the ability to persuade one third of the angels to follow him? I can tell you how. It was because of the sound that came out of him. the noise, the sound, the instruments, the worship, the sound that came out of him had the ability to get the people into a certain state. Worship music, music in general, is extremely powerful. You don't understand what happens to you when you begin to worship God, when you begin to press in and seek him and worship him. But you see, something took place with this angel that caused something to shift inside of him. Because in the beginning, he was perfect. He was beautiful. And he would adore the Lord and worship the Lord. But something changed. Amen. Are you guys okay? Amen. Now, before we go on about Lucifer, I want to just show you some of the sceneries of heaven and what worship looks like in heaven. Is that okay? So we know that Lucifer had stringed instruments. We know that he had pipes. Amen. So there was instruments in him. But let's also take a look at Revelation. Let's go to Isaiah 6, verse number 1. We'll go there first. Isaiah has a vision. Watch. And it's interesting that all... Oh, man, this is beautiful. Every single time we see worship in heaven, it's around the throne. Oh, guys. It's around the throne of God. Isaiah 6, verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Note how the angels, these seraphim, are actually worshiping God. They are adoring him and worshiping. Revelation 7:11 says, all the angels stood around the throne once again, and the elders and four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. So the angels also worship God. Not only the seraphim, but all the other angels too. They come before him and they worship him. Revelation 14:2 says, and I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of a loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. So we know that there are instruments in heaven, pipes and stringed instruments and harps. There's an orchestra in heaven that worships him, that gives him all the glory, that pays homage to him, that adores him, that just wants to be in his presence. And when you get in front of the throne of God, when you come into the most holy place, you cannot but fall down on your face and begin to worship and begin to cry out, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy is he. Only he is worthy. Only he is holy." That's what takes place in heaven when you get around the throne room. Oh, but there is a scripture when Jesus says to his disciples, "Let me teach you how to pray." And he says to them, he says, "When you pray, pray like this: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." On earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. In other words, the way to the throne room of God is through worship. The way into the presence of God is through worship. That you can bring down that presence that's in heaven right down here on earth, and you can be in his throne room. I don't know about you, but I know when I start to worship, it feels like I'm in the throne room. It feels like something's busy happening, that there's angels all around me, and I begin to worship, and I begin to cry out, and I begin to speak to him, and I begin to cry out to him, and then the atmosphere changes. Can you say amen? Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Worship and music has the ability to completely take you in. On the other side, worship has the ability to cause depression, strife, take you to a place of even wanting to commit suicide. And personally, just this is really just my opinion. I believe once iniquity entered his heart, Satan's heart, that he was no longer, the sound that came out of him was no longer a truthful sound. And it was a sound that was starting to try and get people to say, hey, check me out. Have a look at me. Amen. Amen. You better say amen, or you might as well say, oh my. Ezekiel 28, verse 15. Ezekiel 28, verse 15 says, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created. He was created. Worship was created. He and his instruments were created, made by God for the purpose of worshiping God. Till iniquity was found in you. The word iniquity means unrighteousness, moral perversity, wickedness, rebellion, and really speaks of pride. Isaiah 14, verse number 12. Are you guys still okay? Amen. Isaiah 14, verse number 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning star. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations, for you have said in your heart. Now watch what happens, because it's in the heart of Lucifer that things begin to change. It's in his heart. He's worshiping God, making a sound for God, adoring God. But all of a sudden, something shifts. And in his heart, he begins to say, watch, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depth of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms? It's incredible, because we call these the five I Ams of Satan. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. His fall came because of pride and rebellion. Everything was good with him until iniquity was found in him. And that word is so powerful, because it's like that in all of our lives. There's a moment when it changes. You can be serving God, you can be a worship leader, you can be a pastor, you can be whoever, and there's a moment where it's all been about him, but it all of a sudden shifts. And it's that until that iniquity is found in you, until that unrighteousness, until now all of a sudden the focus must shift of the one who we were created to worship. And really what it is he became jealous of God. The very God who created him, so perfect, so beautiful, having one of the most awesome jobs in heaven, a priest to God, a worshiper. A priest is a worshiper. And now he decides that, you know, why should we do this? I think I'm so perfect. I'm so great. I think they should start looking at me. Amen. He wanted the worship that was meant for God for himself. The sign that iniquity was found in Lucifer, what it was, that he no longer wanted to serve, but he wanted to be served. The first sign of a Luciferian spirit is when someone decides, I don't want to serve anymore. I want to do it my way. And I want to be served. I don't want to serve. It's like my sound is so good. I am so perfect. I am the one who is better than all the others. I don't want to follow God. I want to be like God, or even better than God, or exalt my throne above God. Can you imagine? It's very interesting that in the church, the enemy is after this so much, because if this exalts itself and wants you to praise them, we're in big trouble. Can you say amen? Amen. But it not only is it about them, it's about you and about me too, because we're all in the same boat. Amen. But you'll find that most worship leaders that fall, it's because of pride. It's because the same thing, what they're doing is they accepting the praise for themselves. Or when the anointing or the presence of God falls in the room, the same way it's with the pastor, it's the same with the band, with the worship leaders. They now think that because they're doing so well, that now it's because of them that the presence fell. Don't you know? Satan didn't realize. I mean, really? He was created to do that. His abilities, his strengths, his gifting, everything he had was given to him by God, who created him. Of course we must worship him. It's just natural that we worship the creator. Amen. The one who gave us life, who gave us talents, who gave us abilities, who gave us love, who gave us everything. Can you say amen, guys? But as soon as you start sitting there, or you whatever, and you begin to say, I'm a better singer, I'm a better teacher, I can do better, I can be more anointed, I can preach better, I can run the church better, I can lead better, you must know you're in a dangerous place. Amen. Can you imagine, like, as the pastor, I open the Bible and I say, yes, you know, God, why did you say this? You know, really, I think you should have done this. Hello? I mean, there's no way. And I see them sometimes, they get so angry that scripture's there, because it just completely confines everything we believe and our theology. Oh, I can, amen. Let's just carry on. The reality is that God has always desired to have a people that would worship Him. Always desired. And so, we all know the story. Adam and Eve in the garden. They're there. They're worshiping God. They have relationship with Him. He comes in the garden. It's awesome. The glory's on them. I mean, God not only creates them amazing, but He creates them in His image and likeness. So in order to get God to create, or to finally have someone who would worship Him the right way, He creates Himself. Amen. Who can worship Him perfectly. But then, of course, the serpent comes in and causes the fall. So then as time goes on, God decides that He wants to once again establish a people that will worship with Him, that will follow Him. Now watch what He does. Let's go to Exodus 19, verse number 4. I'm leaving out a lot because we have to get moving. It's almost time to end, and I still have a lot to say this morning. Amen. Are you guys still okay? Is this okay for you? Amen. Exodus 19, verse number 4. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandment, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So God says to Moses, go and tell the children of Israel that they will be my priests, that they will worship me. Can you say amen? But unfortunately, the Hebrew people didn't want it. So in Numbers 3, verse number 10, this is what they said. So you shall, no, not there, sorry, let's go to, Okay, Exodus 20, verse 19. Sorry, I jumped ahead of myself. Exodus 20, 19. And they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin." So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. You see, they didn't want to hear from God themselves. They wanted Moses to do it. They were too scared to go into the thick darkness. They were too scared to make the sacrifice. They didn't want to do it. Amen. So what God then does is he establishes amongst the people of Israel a priesthood. But this was never his plan. He wanted the whole nation of Israel to be priests. But that didn't happen. They rejected him. So then he goes and he appoints Aaron and he appoints a priesthood for himself. And you can go, I'm not going to go read it now, but you can go to Numbers 3 verses 10 to 12 to read about it. How God then takes Aaron and his sons and he creates a priesthood. And then he takes the Levites and says, out of this tribe, these will be my priests. God the Creator, desiring a people that will worship Him, desiring that His creation will worship Him. First Lucifer, then really man kind of failed too, like really failed, amen? Then man rejects him, so he takes a small group of people and says, okay, you guys will do it, and they do it. But it's again one of those situations where if you're a Levite, you're a priest. And then all of a sudden, something changes. And there's a man that comes on the scene. And let's go read about him real quick. And then I'm going to close and you'll have to come back tonight. Amen? Saul was ruling over Israel and was really messing up. And Samuel goes to Saul and watch what happens. 1 Samuel 13, verse number 14. I want to show you the key here. This is very important. "But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." 1 Samuel 16, 7 says, "The Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." There was a man who was not only a king and going to become a king, but had the desire to be a priest, had the desire to worship God. A man that was after God's heart, a man that God looked at and saw something different about this one. God doesn't look at the outward appearance. It's not even how many times you failed or how many times you've succeeded. What God's interested in is your heart. And this man David did something that shook the earth. And if you want to know what that is, you've got to come back tonight. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. Thank you so much. I hope that it wasn't too challenging for you this morning. You know, worship is the key to the presence of God and to coming into His presence. I don't push you guys to worship just because I feel like it. Amen. I do it because I know what God is busy doing and what's taking place. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you this morning in this place that your plan is perfect. And Father, throughout the ages, you've been looking for the true worshipers, those who will worship in spirit and truth. And there was a time where you looked upon the earth and you found a young shepherd boy whose heart longed for you, who believed when believing shouldn't have been there, who believed he could slay a giant when others feared and trembled, just because he knew who you were. He followed you. He loved you and wanted to please you. So, Father, I pray that after this teaching, we will all desire to worship more. We will all desire to seek you more. We will all desire to draw closer to you. We love you, Father, and we're so thankful for everything that you have done for us. I pray, Father, that you would bless these precious people, that you would bless them and keep them, that you would make your face shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, that you would lift up your countenance upon them, and that you would give them peace. Bless them as they go this morning, Father, and bring us back together tonight to worship you in this place, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day, and we will see you tonight.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.